السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. الحمد للہ وکفا والصلاۃ والسلام علی سیدنا المصطفی صلی اللہ علیہ وعلی آلہ واصحابہ وبارک وسلم تسلیما کثیرا کثیرا. اما بعد فاعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. والسماء ذات البروج والیوم الموعود وشاہد ومشہود قتل اصحاب الاخدود النار ذات الوقود اِذْ هُمْ عَلَيْهَا قُعُودٌ وَهُمْ عَلَى مَا يَفْعَلُونَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ شُهُودٌ. صدق اللہ العظیم. علماء کرام, most respected brothers and also our sisters who listen, our receivers, Surah Al-Buruj is a surah which is recited frequently in the Fajr Salat by many Imams, and it is in the 30th para of the Quran Sharif. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, for the tasalli of the believers, for consolation of the believers, gives an incident which indeed, if we have to understand, it will give us a lot of consolation. In the 20 minutes, we cannot really discuss in detail, but just to give you the gist, and this is reported in Muslim Sharif, it is discussed in Tirmizi Sharif, there are different riwayat in different kitabs of tafsir, but the gist of all that is this, that just prior to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's coming to this world, about 70 years prior to that, according to most people, about 50 to 70 years before Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam came as a Nabi. So at that time, it was Christian rule. And whosoever believed in Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, and whosoever practiced upon the teachings of Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, at that time, then that person was a true believer, he was a Muslim. If he practiced upon the teachings of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam during that time when it was Christian era, as they call it, so that was actually an Islamic era. Whoever followed Isa alayhi salatu wasalam did not make any alterations and additions and changes in his teaching at that time, then he was a true Muslim. So there was a king at that time who, according to some riwayat, his name was Yusuf Abu Nawas. He was a Jewish king and he persecuted the Christians because of their belief in Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, or what we may term as because of their being Muslims. They were being persecuted. Now this king, he had one kahin, meaning a person who is a fortune teller. Even those days, the kings, they had some kind of fortune teller to tell them, well, this is what is going to happen, that is what is going to happen, and half of the time they were speaking lies. They don't know about themselves, where can their fortune tell? And this is our weakness also in these days, that people believe in these fortune tellers. They visit them, which is very close to kufr. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what is going to happen in the future. Now the people go to these fortune tellers and they say a lot of things, and the people go by those predictions. And if sometimes something does happen also as the way they predicted, then that does not mean that they became Allah ta'ala. The shayateen and the jinnat, they inform them of certain things, and they say regarding those things. But we are not allowed to even visit them or ask them that what is our future. In the time of Harun Rashid, there was a fortune teller. Unfortunately, people believed in him. So one of the ministers who was a very, very good Muslim, Sahis, said, "O king, invite him to your court and I want to ask him some question in your presence." So he was invited to his court and then he said, "Right now ask him a question that if he knows so much about the future, he must now inform that how many years is he going to live in this world. He must look at his own palm and then read his own palm and say how many years is he going to live in this world." Now this was a very, very tricky question for him. So he looked at his own palm and he said 25 years. Now everyone else would have kept quiet and said, well, he has read his own palm and said 25 years. So now we'll have to wait for 25 years to see whether he dies after 25 years. But the minister was a very witty person and very wise person. He took his sword and took the neck off. Immediately he took the neck off of this fortune teller. When he took his neck off and the person died, then he asked the king, he said, how many years this person was supposed to live according to his own reading of his palm? He said 25 years. He said he didn't even live 25 seconds after that. So if he cannot say with regards to his own life, where can he tell about your life? So we should not believe in these fortune tellers. Nevertheless, this king, he had some kind of a faith and trust in these fortune tellers. So he had one person who was expert in this field. Or he was a magician. So he told the king that give me one student. I want to teach this to some student before I leave this world. I want that somebody must also learn this, become an expert in this field. So one young person was chosen to learn under him, to become his student. Now this young person on his way from home, he had to pass by a rahib. Rahib meaning a person who was at that time a very pious person, following the mazhab of Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, meaning that he was a true Muslim. So he had to pass by this rahib's home. Now when he used to pass by there, so this young person used to stop there. And this rahib, this Allah wala, he used to teach him Islam. He used to teach him recognition of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, inform him about akhirat, about jannat, jahannam. So this young person accepted Islam, but very secretly. Because at that time if any person accepted Islam, then he was tortured, he was persecuted. So on his way he is to go, he is to stop at this place, he is to learn, and then he is to go to the king. And on the return again he is to stop there and then go home. So both sides he is to catch a hiding. When he is delayed reaching the king to learn from that magician or that fortune teller, so they used to beat him up. That why are you late? And when on the return he stops there again by the Allah wala, and learns about Islam and about Deen and the Sharia of that time. And when he goes home, then his parents give him a hiding. Then why did you get late? So he was keeping his Islam secret, but he was practicing on it. On one occasion, said that some lion was troubling in that area and he happened to spot it. So he picked up a stone and he said, Ya Allah, if the Deen of this fortune teller is haq. If the deen of this fortune teller is haq, and he believed in the deen or religion of the king of the time, which who was a Jew. So he said, if that is haq, so then don't let this stone cause any kind of harm to that lion. And if the deen of this rahib, the person to whom I'm going and I'm learning about deen and sharia, and that is haq, then let the lion be killed. When he threw the stone, Allah Ta'ala with his qudrat and power caused the lion to be killed. Now that was Allah Ta'ala's qudrat and power. It doesn't mean that we must take one stone and try this out in Kruger National Park. We won't return from there. Then a blind person came. He said, well, if you accept Islam and accept the deen that I have accepted, then I will make dua to that Allah and Allah Ta'ala will give you your sight back. And when he did that, the person got his sight back. So this news reached the king. So the king said, well, must take this person, first of all, that rahib, that Allah wala, take him and have him killed. So they killed him. And he said, this young person, according to the hadith, his name was Abdullah bin Tamir. He said, take this young person on the top of the mountain and throw him from there. Those who took him on the top of the mountain, Allah Ta'ala shook the mountain, they all died and he survived. Then he said, take him to the ocean and have him drowned. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala sent the waves, those people drowned and he survived. So he told the king, you will never be able to kill me. If you want to have me killed, what you must do is read Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim and then aim with the arrow, and that is the only thing that will take my life. He even showed him how to, what to do. But now when he did that, when the king did that, so he passed away. He passed away, that arrow pierced him. But the thousands of people who witnessed this whole incident, that this is what had happened, they accepted Islam. This is Allah Ta'ala's system. That one person gave his life. He was taking the hiding from his parents on that side and hiding this side from that tutor of his. But he accepted Islam and he was practicing on it. And he was prepared to go through any kind of torture and difficulty, but he was not prepared to give up Islam. So the thousands of people that now accepted Islam became a bigger problem for the king of the time, Abu Nawas. So he started persecuting, torturing, and he started killing and murdering. And then he ordered that now a huge pit must be dug and filled up with fuel and fire. And everyone must be told that either you give up your Islam, you give up your deen, you give up your belief in Allah, or you will be put into this fire and you will have to burn. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala had given those people such kind of strength in their iman that those huge flames of fire also did not shake their iman and faith and trust in him. They were prepared to jump into it, except one woman who had a little baby in her hand. So first that baby was thrown. But the mother was hesitating. So the baby said, you come with. Don't hesitate. But everybody went in. Allah Ta'ala describes this in this surah. And he says, as I said, there's no time to go into detailed discussion in the short time. But every ayat day, if we have to read, it strengthens our iman. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, after taking four qasams of the buruj and the yawme maw'ud, meaning the day of qiyamah, and the shahid, according to the hadith sharif, meaning the day of jumu'ah, and the mashhud, according to the hadith sharif, meaning the day, or according to the mufassirin, meaning the day of arafah. Allah Ta'ala takes those qasams and then he says, قُتِلَ أَصْحَابُ الْأُخْدُودِ النَّارِ ذَاتِ الْوَقُودِ إِذْ هُمْ عَلَيْهَا قُعُودِ وَهُمْ عَلَى مَا يَفْحَلُونَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ شُهُودِ Allah Ta'ala gives a description of what these people were doing. Now just picture a huge pit that has been dug, like Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, how they had dug up a huge fire, or the huge pit, and lit up a huge fire. In the way here, they dug up the pit and they filled it up, and the fire was now raging, and they were throwing the people inside, and these people were sitting by and enjoying what was happening, people burning in that fire. The Muslims, those who have accepted Islam according to the Sharia of that time, now they are being thrown inside, according to some riwayat, 12,000 of them, one by one they are being thrown. But not one is saying that I am giving up my Islam, my deen, my Sharia, my belief in one Allah because of this fire which I am seeing. So these are things that happened in the past. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, وَهُمْ عَلَى مَا يَفْعَلُونَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ شُهُودٌ Whatever they were doing, they were also witnesses to that. They were sitting by that fire. They were sitting and watching the Muslims being thrown in there and burning. But Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, His Qudrat and His power and His might knows no limits. It is reported in the riwayat that when they were being thrown, prior to falling into the fire, Allah Ta'ala used to cause their life to be taken away, their soul to be taken away. So our eyes were seeing that they are being thrown into the fire. That is what our eyes were seeing. But in reality, Allah Ta'ala had caused their soul to already depart so that they don't feel the burn of that fire. Because a mu'min is not made for the fire. So many a times we don't know. We see lots of things happening. That the fire was caught on, thousands of homes got burnt, and so many people got burnt in there. Now with regards to those who are believers, those who have iman, those who have yaqeen, those who have trust and faith in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, generally Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala causes their souls to be taken away before they burn to death. So they don't feel it. So here these 12,000 say that is what was happening. That the king was enjoying himself, the people watching were enjoying themselves. That see what we are doing to these believers, throwing them into the fire and burning them. But in the meantime Allah ta'ala was causing their souls to depart before that. But what happened after that is that that same fire spread and burnt up the homes and the people of the king and all those who believed in him, destroyed them. He himself, Abu Nawas, ran away from there. He was the only one that ran away. And he thought he'll dive into the ocean. But there Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala drowned him. So after discussing all these things, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ فَتَلُوا الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَتُوبُوا فَلَهُمْ عَذَابُ جَهَنَّمْ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابُ الْحَرِيقُ. And before that Allah Ta'ala says, وَمَا نَقَمُوا مِنْهُمْ إِلَّا أَنْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَمِيدِ. They had no other weakness, no other shortcoming, no other fault in them. They were not oppressing anybody. They were not tyrannizing. They were not suppressing anyone. They were not murdering anyone. They were not killing anyone. They were not harming anyone. Their only weakness that was in the eyes of the king and the people of that time who believed in the king, that means the rulers of the time, the only weakness was that they had believed in one Allah. That is the weakness. That why did they believe in Allah? Therefore they must go through this persecution, through this torture and through everything. That was their weakness. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala warns that for them is azabul hariq. Azabu jahannam walahum azabul hariq. They lit up the fire and they thought they were going to succeed and get victory by throwing them all into the fire. Allah Ta'ala says on the Qiyamah day, their azab is jahannam, where they will burn in that fire. And for the believers, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala tells them that for them are gardens beneath which rivers will flow. And that is what Allah Ta'ala describes as the ultimate success, the greatest achievement, the greatest victory, the greatest accomplishment. ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ كَبِيرُ. That is the greatest accomplishment, that the person is saved from the azab of Jahannam and is put into Jannat. So the consolation that is given in there, of course after that Allah Ta'ala also talks about the Aad and the Samud, that don't, reminding us that those people also, they thought that in their rebellion they were achieving some kind of success and victory. Rebellion against Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. But that was not the case. See how Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala destroyed the Aad and the Samud. So this surah, without really going into tafsir, that requires hours and hours. But it gives a lot of consolation to the believers. That those who are being persecuted, those who are being tortured, those who are being imprisoned, those whose homes are being destroyed, those whose lives are being made uncomfortable, those who are put through great amount of inconvenience and difficulties and hardships, those upon whom the bombs are raining and the missiles are falling, and the tyranny is increasing, and the oppression and suppression knows no bounds and limits by the Jewish state, so they must not think that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has forgotten them. But of course the believers have to be believers. They have to be obedient to Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to receive that assistance and help. Just as it happened there that after those people were put into the fire, but then that same fire destroyed the enemies and destroyed those who had planned and plotted in this manner. They didn't require a huge army after that to defeat. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's system then works. But first we have to be true believers. Now indeed, the sacrifices have increased tremendously. The torture, the suffering, the pain and the problem has extended great amount. But the weakness that is in us is that we are not changing our lives. Still after watching everything that is happening, we don't have five times salat in our lives. on the day of Jumu'ah, our masajid are full. Saat ki, khat ki, 360 ki. Either we make the Jumu'ah namaz, janaza namaz, and the Eid namaz, or we don't make any other namaz. Or some will make one namaz and two namazes. Now Allah Ta'ala's help does not come like that. And then even if a person has got 5 times namaz in his life, then look at his dealings, look at his transactions, look at his character, look at his akhlaq and morals and etiquettes and behavior, look at his treatment of his wives, look at the treatment of the children, look at his khawf of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala, is it existing? So just that one salat also is not sufficient. So we talk about Allah Ta'ala's assistance and help for the believers, it is promised. Indeed it is promised, and we can read all the ayat of the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala promises. But all the promises are made to the believers, true believers. So in being human, we are going to make mistakes, we are going to err, we are going to fault, we are going to slip. But purposely, the person is going on and on and on. You can say how much you like about porn sites and discos and cinemas and theaters and rave clubs, but it means nothing. But the person, the moment there is some kind of suffering anyway, say, but why is Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala not coming to the assistance and help of the believers? It hurts and it really pains, and who can be without grief and sorrow at the destruction that is taking place? Sleep, we cannot even sleep when we think of what is happening. Young children, babies, mothers without food so that they can nourish the babies on milk. No electricity, no food, no light, no water. Buildings are smashed and bombarded. Innocent people, their lives have been made miserable. So who will not suffer pain? But then in the Akhirat, Allah Ta'ala will separate. But in this world, that is the system, that if we are not going to be true believers, then suffering will come. And the good and the pious and the righteous will also suffer together with those if they did not make an effort also to restrain them from haram. We just do not have a voice in our homes. We may make our namazes in the masjid 5 times a day. But today's father and today's mother does not have a voice at home. He cannot tell the son that please no porn sites and no internet haram site watching or no television movies and all the haram and the filthy pictures and that are coming on the screen. And no music I want in my home. I want 5 times salat in my home. Nobody has got that voice anymore. Very few. So then when the azab comes, it will be widespread. And especially our Muslim countries, besides a few where liquor is banned. Otherwise, they are proud about the sale of liquor. Go to Dubai, and what are they proud about? As soon as you enter the airport, you can smell liquor there. From this end to that end, bottles and bottles in the supermarket or at the airport. And so many other Muslim countries the same. In Palestine also the same. Go to some of the corner shops and see what the Muslims are selling. And who used to flock to Beirut from all parts of the world? And for what they used to flock there? The tourists, for what they used to go there? After 16, 18 years of civil war, when everything was destroyed, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gave them respite, gave them reprieve, gave them some chance to again surface. So the first things that start flourishing again are the nightclubs, the discos, the cinemas, the brothels, the prostitute quarters, and people are coming from France and from Egypt and from America and from other parts of the world. For what? For a wonderful nightlife in Beirut, city of Lebanon. Capital of Lebanon, Muslim country. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gives a rope, He gives plenty of time. But then as I mentioned in my talk the other night, that first there will be sins that become widespread, abundant. Then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala sends His azab, there will be destruction. After destruction, then all the countries of the world start sending aid and there's reconstruction. But there's reconstruction of everything else, the buildings and everything else, but there's no reconstruction of the iman. So Allah Ta'ala sends again destruction. And this will carry on. Same thing happening in Indonesia, same thing happening in other parts of the world. After having witnessed the tsunami, can any person still have the himmat, the courage, the strength to defy Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and openly sin against Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala after having watched it. But in those countries the same thing happened. The first things they start flourishing and they said, we invite the tourists again, come and have a good time. So there must be a reconstruction first of the iman, because these are Muslim lands, Muslim countries, Muslim rulers. If you have a filthy magazine in your bag and you have to be caught and arrested at the Jeddah airport, they will confiscate that and they are liable to punish you and whip you. But yet you can from there straight head for your hotel room and watch all the filthy movies, over 200-300 channels they say they have now. There's nothing. Everything is okay. If you have one article which is against the government, then immediately you will be put into prison. So time is running out. Our lives are not going to be extended beyond the time that Allah Ta'ala has destined. So these Mubarak days that are coming now will be entering Rajab, Shaban, Ramadan. So from now we must try and turn towards Allah Ta'ala. Wallah, I've repeated this many, many times and I conclude on that there is no other route. We can try everything. We can lobby, we can do what we like. Qudrat and power is in Allah Ta'ala's hands. What will we achieve? Yes, we must make use of the means. We must assist them, we must help them, we must make dua for them. We must look at our weakness, our shortcomings, take lessons, and try whatever means we wish to try. But that connection with Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if that is not built up, then it is futile. We'll have the same problem. Construction, destruction, reconstruction, destruction. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala remove the pain, the suffering, the problem, the difficulties, the hardships, the tests and the trials that the people of Lebanon, Palestine, Chechnya, Bosnia, Kashmir, Afghanistan, Iraq, Africa, every part of the world, but especially at present Lebanon. Make dua, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, give hidayat to those zalim Yahudis. And if hidayat is not in their muqaddar and taqdeer because of the obstinacy and because they have made up their minds that we are going to continue with the tyranny and injustice and persecution, then Allah Ta'ala must do the same as He did with the Aad and the Samud and the nations of the past who rejected the prophets, shake the ground beneath their feet and destroy their armies and forces using His own unseen forces. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.